You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Today, we'll hear from comedian Louis Black, who visits Sioux City this weekend, and get a preview of Friday's Glow Fest at Western Iowa Tech Community College. But first, we talk with the five candidates for this year's open city council seat. In Sioux City, if there are more than two candidates, there must be a primary. Incumbent Councilwoman Rhonda Capron will face four challengers in November. They are Michael Baela, an accountant, Rosario Perez Jr., a local hip-hop artist known as Rev, Julie Shaner, owner of Soho Kitchen and Bar, and Michael O'Connor, a writer and artist. Capron herself once had a bar. Now she runs a service that provides help for senior citizens. Capron says she and the council are working for a better Sioux City, and that involves bringing in younger people as well.
You know, it's not just about us and council. What we're doing on council is for the future. And so that's why we want to get the younger people involved, so we know what they want and what they need, because, you know, different ideas are the best thing ever. So for me, I've been in the PR business, I've been in the bar business, now I have a home healthcare business, and it's all about people, and people want to be acknowledged, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here for the people.
What's your biggest priority?
My biggest in for the city?
Yeah.
You know, my biggest priority for Sioux City is getting along, doing the best for all the people. You know, we all want to be acknowledged, and that's what I'm here for. That people can call me anytime. I'm very accessible. And I want them to feel comfortable with what I do and with what the city does. You know, we have a great council, and I would not be running again if we didn't. We get along, we respect each other, we can agree to disagree. At the end of the day, we're still friends.
What would you do, and you mentioned younger people a minute ago, what would you do to try and keep younger people from leaving Sioux City?
You know, I tell you, we need to give them more of what they want. You know, the younger generation is different from us older people. We're not so prone to go out and go bike riding or, you know, get involved in sports, or although I was involved in sports for 40 years, I just softball and racquetball and all that. But given the amenities that they enjoy, and trails is a big deal. We're really working on trails, trying to get everything hooked up from South Sioux to Sioux City to North Sioux to Lamar. So, you know, that way then they have a way that they can meet up and connect with other people.
You know, this kind of feeds into that a little bit. What would you do to try and recruit new businesses and higher paying jobs to Sioux City? Because I know that's always a challenge.
It's a challenge. And the challenge is we need businesses to be interested in coming to Sioux City. And we have done that. I'll tell you, we have brought in a lot of different businesses. I could give you a list of different things that we brought in. The younger people want more accessible business. They want to be able to maybe work outside of their home or inside their home. You know, have their times different than regular hours. And so those are the kind of businesses that we need to bring in and to help the people work around their schedules.
I know we've had a lot of hotels and various development projects in downtown Sioux City. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of thing you'd like to see more of to sort of boost the development of downtown Sioux City?
I'm not sure that we can fit anything more downtown. So, you know, I tell you, downtown's doing good. And, it's just, you know, making what we have work really well. So that's our focus, and you know, being downtown right now, it's got to be good for the businesses downtown. When we get the hotel opened up, I tell you, it's going to be a major plus for 4th Street and for all the businesses around there. There will be plenty of parking. We've got two parking lots that they'll be able to take in consideration, and. You know, I tell you, it's going to be blooming, and you know, and some of these businesses should understand that when we have different events down at the convention center, that's bringing in a lot of people, and sometimes it's during the week where they won't have as good a business, and so they can have their good business on the weekends, and then they can really have good business during the week. So I think they should be excited about that.
Do you think that we need a more of a strong mayor system rather than the system that we have with the city manager, you know, doing a lot of the day-to-day business mm-hmm. and the sort of the part-time mayor?
Well, we need it the way it is, the way I look at it. The city manager is full-time director, and we are his boss. But, I guess I don't look at it that way because he gives me information that I need, and I can call him up and ask him a question, and he'll have the answer. We have the best mayor ever right now, and we won't be lucky enough to have that down the road, I don't think, you know. But, you know, the most important thing to me is letting our people know out there that you will be acknowledged. We have transparency. If anybody has an issue or has a problem, they can call any of us. My number's right on the city website. It's my cell phone, the only number I have. I'm very accessible. And we want people to know that they can come and talk to us if there's a problem.
That was incumbent City Council member Rhonda Capron, who's running again this year. She's being challenged by four candidates, and one of them is longtime downtown Sioux City restaurant owner Julie Shaner. Shaner owns the Soho Restaurant and Bar on 4th Street. Shaner says she'd like to focus on bringing business development and funding to Sioux City.
Now that I moved into town, I've had a few people coming to me saying, Jules, have you thought about running for council? You've got a lot of good ideas, or, oh, I like your comment about this or that. And I just feel like Sioux City is ready to grow up. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a good way. I hear a lot about growing out and getting bigger, like Sioux Falls and like Omaha. But I think we need to grow up first. We need to finish what we started. We have a lot of projects here, the schools. You know, we're just starting a new elementary demolition today, and that's going to take 3 years to do. We've started some street repairs and some infrastructure repairs, and we've got new businesses and new housing developments, but they're not finished, you know. So I'd like to see us grow up. Let's finish what we've started and really make our city great.
So what is your number one priority, or maybe one or two priorities for Sioux City?
I've got a couple of them, and since I haven't been on the council before, it's hard for me to put this percentage out there, but I want to say that I would like to spend 20 to 30% of my focus on community enterprise, including strengthening that thread between council and the public. I feel like the public just reading feels a little bit disconnected, that their voice, you know, isn't always heard, and every single person's voice can't be addressed. I totally understand that. And the other would be working on city matters such as the streets, the infrastructure. And again, I can't promise I'm gonna, you know, fix that in the next year or 2 years. But what I would love to do is to form a very strong commission and have that commission take 12 months and build a solid plan to rebuild the infrastructure. And that's going to have to include sources of new revenue, because we all know we don't want the property taxes raised any more than they have been in Sioux City. Sources of new revenue can be funds from the state and from the federal levels, but we need to tap into our resources for these things. We need to get in touch with our legislators, with Jackie and Jim and Chris and everybody else that can lead us to funds. You know, we may have to have a new local option tax voted in by our citizens to pay for this, because without money, we all know, you can't do much.
What would you do to try and boost development in downtown Sioux City?
I am boosting development as we speak. I serve on the board of directors of Downtown Partners, and getting awareness out there to what Sioux City actually has, marketing ourselves, beautification. We have some grants that are being offered by Downtown Partners that help business owners and small business owners to fix things, maybe change a sign, maybe beautify a front door. It could be painting, it could be a new window. But we need to advocate for ourselves that we have a beautiful downtown, the apartments that are all being built. So trying to market ourselves as a strong downtown will help us to build a strong downtown. I'd love to see a few more sponsored events downtown, some festivals, some family, you know, fun events. Where you see people is where you go.
What do you think could be done to try and bring new business in? And you talked a little bit about development that kind of, I think, goes into what you were saying. But what do you think it's going to take to make downtown a more complex or diverse business environment? So many businesses and offices have moved out.
They have moved out, you're right. And I think it's kind of follow the leader right now. You know, one goes, another one goes, another one goes, but I think we're working in reverse now. One is coming, another one is coming, another one is coming. So I think that we're working more towards what the problem is instead of chasing after the problem. I think we're getting in front of it. You know, with our new Marto Brewing and their outside seating, people love sitting outside. They love being outdoors in festivals and events and things like that. We're having an art event in an alley this weekend, which is like totally East Coast, West Coast kind of an event. So we're just a little bit behind the times for doing those kinds of things. I made a point not too long ago that I think our food truck Fridays are awesome.
And I think the things you were mentioning about the changes in downtown, do you think more of those kind of changes would help bring younger people back or just bring people, young people to Sioux City?
I think it'll help bring young people to Sioux City because we're got developers now remodeling all these older buildings and putting these loft-like cool apartments. People who live in these apartments traditionally in any city, they don't have a car or they don't want to depend on a car. And most of the time, it's under necessity in the big cities. We know that. But for Sioux City, if they have a car, they want to ride a bike. They want to get on their scooter. They want to walk around and do things like that. And we just need to fill in the pockets where we have spaces missing for that. I'd love to see a real bodega come in downtown and sell some groceries and sell, you know, some soda, some water, some beer, maybe a salad. I'd love to do it myself, honestly. But are we putting the cart before the horse by offering this before the apartments are filled is the question of the business-minded person. If we want people to live downtown, we need to give them the creature comforts of downtown. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that more people have ideas for those kinds of things, and I would love to hear them.
That was Sioux City Council candidate Julie Shaner, the owner of Soho Bar and Restaurant on 4th Street. One of the other candidates is Michael Viella. Viella is an accountant who was born in Burkina Faso and came to the U.S. more than 20 years ago. Viella says if elected, he would like to address property taxes and transparency in government.
The first thing will be the transparency. This is the way I'm going to do it on the transparency. I'm coming with a plan. Every time, everything that I take as a problem, because I'm a problem solver. As a problem solver, I will come with a solution for every problem. The first thing would be the transparency. And this is the way I'm going to solve the problem on the transparency. I'm going to put a question for in every month. 10 questions. I'm going to remove totally the citizen concern on the meetings. We're going to have another commission who will be there for the citizen concern. So what they're going to do every month, they're going to send to people with their water bill, a card, a postcard with the questions that they're going to fill about their concern. What is going on in the area? What do they want to change? Everything. And then the commission, we meet once every month. And when they meet, they're going to take all of those questions and then go and try to summarize it with a priority. Then it would be a correlation again between that city, that people, and the citizen in the government. So back, people who cannot pay, who don't go and pay the bill in front of the cashier, what they're going to do, they're going to go online. They're going to go online and see those questions and then just fill the questions. And then the city will have that. So it will create a new dynamic between the citizen and the government. That would be the first thing I really want to do, to establish the true thing between the government and us. The second thing would be the property taxes. The property taxes is something that people can fight. But they don't have the procedure. Then nobody explain, nobody in the government explain how they can fight the property taxes, how they can fight their own property taxes. You can fight it and win. If you don't agree with your property taxes, there is a protocol that you need to follow. You follow that protocol, and then that protocol will take you when you apply your complaint, you apply with your complaint, you send it to the auditor. And then the auditor, the assessor, I mean, the assessor will take it and take it to where he's supposed to. That would be the first thing. The second thing on the same question would be a protest. We can send to people a petition. They're going to sign the petition. They don't agree. They're going to sign the petition to understand. Somebody need to come with an explanation about what is the property taxes and what the property taxes is doing. We cannot keep leaving people in the dark.
What would you do to try and attract and keep younger people here in Sioux City?
This is a very good question, and I love it. The first thing that we need to do here is to bring more developer people in the city, because if you don't, to keep people, you get to keep people based on their interest. And the interest is produced by the economy. If you have a weak economy, there is nothing you can do to keep those young people here.
That was accountant Michael Biela, one of the four city council candidates challenging incumbent Rhonda Capron. Activist, writer, and artist Michael O'Connor is also running for council. O'Connor talked with Sheila Brummer about his goals for the city. O'Connor says he'd like to take on the homeless problem.
And at the heart of our community is the homeless situation. I know there are a lot of efforts going on in our community, and I'm in some ways I am in the background and have been collaborative in those efforts. But I've never seen it any worse than it is now. Despite all these efforts, I think that is a symptom of mental illness, a symptom of addiction, and a symptom of something in our community. The white elephant in the room, I believe. But I've spoken to a lot of people that obviously have decided that they see the white elephant, that the pink elephant, whatever you want to call it, and that it is an issue. And so I look forward, whether I am on the city council or not, to still being a part of not only those discussions, but a part of the action, because inaction is a form of action.
This is the next question. What would you do to try to keep younger people from leaving Sioux City for bigger cities?
Younger people are a gift to us. And in my language, we refer to them as Wakanyeja. And Wakanyeja means sacred ones. And so they have that gift. And if we treat them like they have that gift, and we encourage them, and we model for them, that is the attraction. I went away for 4 years to seek my academic and my spiritual goals. But because of the roots, the spiritual roots, and the people, I came back. Now we have excellent, we sit right on Western Iowa Tech, which obviously is fantastic. They just have been, they have just received accommodation for the hard work that we have done. We have the horses here in our community to keep them here. We have such a diverse, young, youth, strong, energetic-minded population. I can't think of a reason why we cannot keep them here. And if they go away to seek because a particular academic institution has what they need, and we set the tone that you are valued here, your voice is valued, we want to model, and you not only have the capacity to model that, then I just like my situation, I had to come back. It was in my heart.
What would you do to boost development in downtown Sioux City?
That's a good question. I see small businesses popping up, and I see the art efforts coming up, and it just makes it so wonderful. It makes it so beautiful. I love to walk downtown. And what I would do is I would use the strengths of our diverse community, our youth. I just passed by somewhere yesterday while walking downtown, and there was a couple of youth sort of collaboratively collecting their art pieces together, and I saw the excitement in their faces. I sense that because that's who I am as well. I don't know if they sense that from me, but I loved to see that. And that happens around every corner. That happens in every store. That happens on every street. That happens wherever you are. That happens. And so I myself, we have a very diverse, we are fortunate enough to have a very diverse population. I would utilize that because it is a strength of ours. And I would utilize that to attract people.
What would you do to try to recruit new business and higher paying jobs to Sioux City?
That's a good question. I like what is already happening. Because when we recruit businesses, we are recruiting people. We are recruiting people's lives. We are recruiting people's experience. We are recruiting people's families. We are recruiting people's futures into our communities. And I know through my own experience that when you serve to recognize your strengths and work on your weaknesses, that will automatically draw those type of people who also, that is the road to success. Okay, even in our own personal lives, we have to identify our strengths, and we also have to identify, we cannot be afraid of our weaknesses. And I know that when we do that, just like in that movie, if you build it, they will come, feel the dreams. I know that is going to happen. We are at the foundation of our community. We are a hard-working, nose to the grindstone type of community. And so that has been the foundation. Going to do that.
Do you think Sioux City needs a full-time mayor instead of relying on a city manager form of local government?
I'm not sure if I'm prepared to answer that question right now. If that is an answer that the people want to be asked, then that is absolutely needs to be a priority.
That was Michael O'Connor, a Native American activist, writer, and artist who's running for city council. Finally today, we hear from hip-hop artist Rosario Perez Jr., also known as The Rev. Perez says he's running for city council because he's not happy with the way things are going in Sioux City.
Whether it be potholes or, you know, just spending, things like that. But at the end of the day, I'm raising 3 kids here. And my son is going to start paying taxes in 5 years. I have to assume that if I'm not happy, they're not going to be happy. You know what I mean? And I can either sit at home and complain about it or get off my rear end to do something about it. I've chose to do the latter. I think that, you know, talk about it, be about it is something that I say quite a bit, and it's just time to take action and see if we can't spark a flame here.
What is your number one priority for Sioux City?
Yeah, number one priority, honestly, giving the people a voice. Those people who feel they don't have a voice. I feel like our current leadership has gone a long time without acknowledging the lower middle class. They've done a really great job pandering to the the upper echelon, what I call the Sioux City elite, and it's time to change that, because the Sioux City elite, that upper echelon that I mentioned, they're not the majority. We are. And I think it's a very grassroots approach that we're taking. I think that's trending upwards just as far as campaigns go. But we want to be in the streets talking to these people who feel that they don't matter, that they don't have a voice, which isn't the case at all. Really, it's just a matter of, like I said, sparking that flame and making them realize, hey, you do have a voice, use it, vote in your elections, right? And I've been telling people this throughout this whole campaign, even if you don't vote for me, get out there and vote. I can't stress how important that is. But we need to give that a voice to those who feel that they don't, definitely.
What would you try and do to boost development and try and bring more jobs to Sioux City?
Yeah, as far as bringing more jobs to Sioux City, I think that, so construction is definitely hindering small businesses here, right? We need to plan that out. I'm all for making Sioux City aesthetically pleasing to bring in these businesses, but we've got to focus on getting our people taken care of. You know what I mean?
Right. What about young people? Seems like it's hard to keep young people here, or get young people to come here.
Yeah, and so I'm 28, and I hear this a lot. Rent is kind of an issue, and I understand that from a city council perspective, they probably don't have too much control over that, but we can't ignore it. You know, a three-bedroom apartment can run you $1,200. I think that's a big problem, whether it be, you know, the rent. If we're being honest, there just isn't much outside of the bar scene for the younger crowd to do, especially teenagers. That's something I've been really focusing on throughout this campaign. I can't think of a place in Sioux City where teenagers can go and, you know, be around positive adult role model influences, just stay out of trouble. You see violent crime on the rise in Sioux City, and the number of people who fall into that, you know, 16 to 23 demographic, that's gut-wrenching. That is heartbreaking, and people should be paying attention to that. And I haven't walked in their shoes, but I know what it feels like to sort of feel that your future's predetermined, to feel that you're stuck in this rut.
Do you think Sioux City needs a full-time mayor? You know, now we have a part-time mayor and we have a city manager instead.
I'll be honest with you. I think that, yeah, we do need a full-time mayor, someone who can dedicate their time specifically to those, you know, mayoral duties. Bob Scott, you know, I hear he's done some great things. Good on him. I feel that at the end of the day, times are changing, right? That's something that we all have to face. Times are changing, and that is something that has to change as well, definitely.
That was hip-hop artist Rosario Perez Jr., also known as The Rev, who is running for city council in Sioux City. Perez, Michael O'Connor, Michael Baella, Julie Shaner, and Rhonda Capron will compete for a place in the general election in the October 8th primary. The top two vote-getters for the council seat will advance to the November 5th election. Since only two candidates have filed in the mayoral race, Mayor Bob Scott and challenger Maria Rundquist, there will not be a primary for that office. You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. Support for The Exchange comes from Gregory Giles, investment advisor representative with Legacy Financial LLC in Sioux City, serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients since 2004. Information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at www.legacyfinancialllc.com. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC, financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA Financial Network. On Tuesday night, September 24th, Jim Scop will be the special guest of the Sierra Club at the Broken Kettle Grasslands Preserve in Plymouth County. He talked to Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer about the allure of the natural beauty of the landmark in the Lost Hills.
The Sierra Club has this, what I think to be a glorious idea, of actually going out there to Broken Kettle, which is a marvelous, wonderful place, and celebrating change of season and celebrating just simply the night, the evening, watching the sun go down, being out there and appreciating that wild place, which isn't all that far from here. It's a gorgeous place that a lot of people probably don't know exists necessarily, simply because of the fact that there isn't paths through it and all that sort of thing. But it's a beautiful place. And the idea is to celebrate the place and nature itself.
And this is an area that inspired you to write an amazing story.
Broken Kettle Dawn. We were standing atop a miniature mountain, looking out over the Big Sioux River from a statuesque bluff not all that far from the confluence of the Missouri and the Big Sioux. Over the prairie land of Broken Kettle Nature Preserve, 3,000 acres of sheer beauty. No one else was there.
That became a small wonders.
Yes,
here at the station.
Right, that's right. It actually is something that the very first time I went there at dawn, the idea was, I liked the landscape photography, and I thought, you know, this would be fun to be way up on the hill at Broken Kettle when the sun comes. And my idea was to take a picture of that wide landscape that's to the west. Well, that didn't work. But I was there at dawn. I was with another guy. The two of us were up there at dawn. And all of a sudden, the sun came up. And what is in the light of the sun was really hard to get into a lens, into the camera. But what was most amazing was that suddenly this blue stem, these grasses that we were standing in just got bronzed. So all of a sudden they're gold, as if King Midas had come along and just touched them and turned everything to gold. And that was something that I'd never quite experienced in the same way, that all of a sudden the world itself turns to gold. In that early dawn light that, you know, is such a wonderful light for photographers. So I learned something about photography that day. I didn't get the picture I thought I was going to get, but I'd learned some things about photography. And I was just in the miracle of the gold touch. That was wonderful. And that the essay that I'll read that night, it came from that experience.
So people will get a chance to hear you, and I believe we're actually going to have a full audio experience.
That's
with sound effects,
yes,
and it'll take you right there.
Because
you will be there.
You will be there. That's right. That's right. And the music will be wonderful, I'm sure.
That's great. What inspires you in the storytelling that you do? I know you like a lot of historic things, but what do you enjoy doing?
I think more and more I need surprise. I need suddenly to think, wow, that's amazing. And usually with surprise, I can find things. I'll give you a good example, which you probably can't use on air.
Oh, no, we might use it. We'll see. If not, you might hear some beeps, right? Is that what you mean?
No, it isn't. That's not.
Oh, it isn't that way. Okay.
No,
okay.
It's just that. Well, here's the story. So just Sunday, this is Sunday, I had to go to Michigan for a memorial service for a woman I knew died 99 years old. And I was on my way, and I stopped at a rest stop for reasons why most people stop at rest stops. That's the dangerous stuff. And I went in and I took care of business, and I walked out, and here the title on the place is Great Sauk Trail. Well, I grew up in Wisconsin along Lake Michigan on the Sauk Trail, and to me it was the name of a road. And so I read, you know, in this rest stop, what was the Great Sauk Trail, and it just seems that Native people, even from here, came up that Sauk Trail all the way through Illinois and ended up around Green Bay, Wisconsin, to trade furs with French traders in the early, you know, 17th century and 18th century. I had no idea that was true, that I grew up on a path on which there could have been Kickapoo, Potawatomi, all kinds of Native people. I had no idea of that. Well, that was a surprise. So I'm going to write an essay about a rest stop. No.
About a rest stop. About the trail.
About the trail. That's right. And it's not far from Sioux City's discovery suddenly that there's a great river trail that used to go right through Sioux City, right along the river. It's the same thing. All of a sudden discovering that there was a life here before, and that life was vibrant and colorful and bright. And that's the kind of experience of surprise that can lead to a little small wonder. Broken Kettle Preserve is a wonder.
not simply because it exists right here on our doorstep on the far north edge of the Les Hills, but also because it is so gorgeous in its own peculiar native ways, dressed out as it always is, especially at dawn. You can't help but wonder whether the Cora Discovery didn't feel pretty much the same joy on August 22, 1804, the bright morning after that great first taste of buffalo, somewhere right here in the neighborhood.
Club event with Small Wonders Jim Scopp starts at 6 p.m. Tuesday, September 24th. If you would like to attend, you are to meet at the Broken Kettle Grasslands Preserve. A vehicle tour starts at 6:15 and ends at 7 p.m. with Scopp sharing his Small Wonders stories, including Broken Kettle Dawn, along with audio production by Siouxland Public Media General Manager Mark Munger. There will be snacks, and you are allowed to bring your own adult beverages. You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. Comedian Louis Black takes the stage of the Orpheum Theater Saturday night. Black is known for his angry observations of society. Besides being a stand-up, he's also a best-selling author, playwright, and commentator for television, including The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He talked with Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer about his opinion on this election cycle, what he likes, and his show plan for Sioux City.
I'm going to be yelling about things that need to be yelled about, and I'm talking about things that I think need to be talked about, and there will be people who say that I didn't talk enough about the man in charge, and there'll be people who say that I talk too much about the man in charge. The fact of the matter is I rarely talk very much about who's ever in charge in terms of the president, because none of them have ever really interested me, and really I'm going to talk about things like my mother turned 101 and what it's like, you know, in terms of having to deal with parents who are living way, way longer than anybody expected them to live, and what it means in terms of, like, you know, the economy and all of that. Because if the economy was so great, we'd actually be able to afford to take care of all of the people who are growing older and older and older and older and older and older. But we can't, can we? No. So that's the kind of stuff. I'll talk about why I... You know, all of, you know, and I'll also talk about why it's so hard to do comedy now, but, you know, things like that.
When you do your comedy, you do, you know, you're a critic of things. You like to rant. But what makes you happy as a person?
Sitting with friends and having dinner and listening to other people talk about stuff, and wine, not whining, W-H-I-N-I, but wine, and golf, sadly. That's really the sad part. It's sad that golf makes me happy, but it does.
And what kind of wine do you like?
Every, you know, pretty much anything. I like wine. I mean, you can pretty much go across the boards, and I like it. As of now, I like, and it doesn't have to be expensive wines, because right now the wine that I like a lot is Portuguese wines. And if and I'm just going to tell... Your listeners should know, if they're looking for a really good wine that doesn't cost a lot of money, and I mean doesn't cost a lot of money, it's Portuguese wines. And do it now, because it'll eventually, like everything else, go through the roof. But right now, it's unbelievable.
And obviously, you kind of touched a little bit on the president a little bit. And Iowa, we actually take politics fairly seriously, because, yeah, you know, we have the caucuses and stuff like that, you know, and our listeners are pretty politically savvy. Is there a certain candidate that you like, a candidate you don't like, or what are your general thoughts about the caucus system?
There should be a constitutional amendment that during the summer, that no one running for political office or in political office should be allowed to speak to the American people unless there's an emergency, because it's our time. They have 9 months to talk to us. This is our vacation, okay? They don't get to muck with us, all right? How you people allow some of these folks in to talk to you is beyond my comprehension. I think it's admirable. I think I'm glad that you're willing to do that work, but not in the summer. No, not in the summer. That's your time. Look, you know where we are? We're in September. They could have started now. Did we learn anything over the past 4 months? Vaguely. We learned that there were a lot of people running for the presidency who really wanted to have, you know, get more money for their speaking engagements. That's what we learned.
And we still have quite a few candidates left.
Yeah, it's really great. It's tremendous. That's what you need to do is to have people, you know, you need as many candidates as humanly possible, because that's what makes us really, it'd just be nice to have, you know, it's interesting to watch them just, it's just unbelievable. It's just, it's extraordinary. Because they really are. The Democrats don't know how to respond to him, and the Republicans don't know how to respond to him. There need to be adults. They really do. When he says something, I'm just saying, this is outside. I don't care if your listeners go, well, yada, 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 yada. You know, I think this or that about him. The fact of the matter is when he says something and it's not historically correct because he doesn't know, to know history at times, somebody from either party has to stand there and correct him and come out every hour during the day and make a correction of it. Because that's what adults do for people who don't understand certain things, especially people who need to know those contexts from time to time. It's ridiculous. I sit there and watch both parties and go, you haven't got an adult around.
Are you a fan of public radio? I think you are.
Yeah.
You've been on Fresh Air, and actually you did like a cool piece about like the root of anger. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah. No, I did. I've done a bunch of stuff. Whenever public radio is called, I, you know, answered the call.
I'm glad you answered our call too.
Yes.
I just have some quick questions real quick. What's your favorite food?
Barbecue.
Ooh, that's good.
I'm kind of psychotically. There's a psychosis there, yes.
Do you have a favorite movie?
My favorite movie probably has remained because of its the brilliance of the way it dealt with the darkest topic ever, the end of the earth as we know it, was Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, that's a good one too. A favorite song?
Gimme Shelter. Rolling Stones.
Yeah, do you have a favorite place?
Place? The old quad at the University of North Carolina.
And do you have a favorite person?
I got a lot of people I really like.
Lewis Black says he plans to do a 60-minute show in Sioux City, followed by a special feature. For about a half hour, he'll focus on rants people share on Sioux City. The multimedia event will be available on Lewis's website, lewisblack.org. And this Friday night, a free outdoor concert takes place on the campus of Western Iowa Tech Community College. Sheila Brummer talked with the headliners of Glow Dad about their music, viral videos, and how the duo of Mark and Jason got their start.
We met each other probably in the Sioux City, just the regular hip-hop scene. I don't know, we were trying to decide how long ago that was. Let's just go with 10 years. It's probably more than that. Met at a show, and then probably didn't start working with each other until some years after that. And then he was kind of rapping and DJing, decided he kind of wanted to step back from the rapping part and do more DJing, and we kind of did some shows to where I was the MC and he was the DJ under Protégé, and I think we were in the basement working on some of that, and he had mentioned maybe getting back into the rapping part of it, and it came about to where, you know, I always like to say, hey, how can we rap till we're 1,000 years old? A good excuse. And he's like, what better way to rap than about things we do every day and who we are? And so we started with a couple dad tracks, knowing that the chance of it being cheesy was there, and see how those go, and they took off. Begging for that, telling me we need a dog and a cat.
to feed. You can squeeze that rock, but it will not bleed. Budget
balling. And you're obviously dads, and that inspires the lyrics that you put together. Very clever lyrics. Who comes up with the lyrics behind all of it?
We both come up with our own.
Yeah.
And the topics will generally be, so one day something will happen in one of our lives and we'll say, okay, that should be a song, and we'll kind of put it to a beat, and then all of a sudden it takes a whole life of its own.
Raw meat getting formed into patties. Daughter's helping now set the table up for daddy. I'm a savage with asparagus, pairing it with American and wrapping it in bacon like a baby in the carriages.
I always like to say that this project, the Dad Project, kind of takes over on its own and does what it wants to. We just kind of are along for the ride.
Yeah. Certain aspects we act on, and I don't know if it's we're lucky to be that way, but it seems like, you know, if we don't rush things and we take our time, it ends up all piecing itself together somehow.
And your song Go to Work, that video behind it, a very clever video, that ended up getting millions and several million hits online, that video. People all over the world saw it.
Far from optional, family comes first. It's only logical. Let's go to work, work.
I think at one point I was counting about 40 million or something between the different various postings of it. It ended up on CNN, it ended up on NBC, which was crazy to see. But it was really a whirlwind in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, it was a fun time, and I'm just glad that it got out there at that level.
Did you get any national interest from record companies? Did you get some contacts that way?
Not really.
I'm surprised, because it's amazing, this song.
Thank you.
I think it relates, many people can relate to it, especially if you do have kids.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that's the relatability is definitely what draws a lot of people in. But yeah, as far as record companies go, not really.
And that may not be the goal anymore, because that's not really a business model that makes, for bands sure. Nowadays.
Right. If you think about it, the demographics of the people who the record companies are aiming for are younger, that spend their parents' money. But but what they're not realizing when they see us is that if they were wanting that money, they could just get it right from the source instead of through the kids. So
very smart.
Any record labels out there listening, hey. We're ready. Get it from the
So you guys are getting ready to headline this huge music festival at Western Iowa Tech. And it's your second year, so
we are.
They liked you, and so they invited you back.
Yeah, we had a blast last year. A lot of people came out and supported it, and a lot of dancing, a lot of kids. Fun times.
Yes. Yes, I always like the outdoor festival-y type of feel as well. Looking out at people hanging out in their lawn chairs on the grass or dancing amongst the flowers, however you want to say it. And it's all ages. Kids love dancing to our stuff. I'm not sure what it is, but he said it before, that they're always the first ones up front. Sometimes it's hard to get people to loosen up, get up here up front and dance. And the kids are always the first ones.
The 5-year-olds love it.
They love it.
And I also think last year they had some of the students in on the production, which was actually kind of cool to see, being that I actually went to school here. So it was cool to see that they're actually giving them that real life experience with the sound production. It was cool.
And the soup gone, stepping high V, and we make a rain coupon. Go to Sam's Club, call me a freak, but the samples are free, so it's all you can eat. Why the hell would I pay for a beat when I could turn a YouTube?
That was Mark and Jason from Dad. You can hear them live this Friday night at the Glow Music Festival at Western Iowa Tech. The music starts at 6, it goes till 11 p.m. Also playing Glow are Winter Wayfarer, Fall of Kings, and Team. And that's it for this week's edition of The Exchange. Thanks for listening. I'm Mary Hartnett.